So before we get started, let's go ahead and have Tim just pray for our message this morning, if you would, please.
Dear great and awesome God, we are so thankful that we can gather today and just celebrate all that you do in our lives and all that you have before us. We're here. We're just caught up in praising you. We're looking forward to getting a message from your word. And we're just grateful the chance to get close to you and close with each other. And we pray for your special blessing in this time. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. All right. So most of you probably figured out by now I am not Todd. Lack of the ponytail, piercings, and tattoos probably gave it away. I am John. I'm one of the elders here at Grace. And Todd is on vacation today. I think he's out taking his kids backpacking. And then he's going to be heading off to pick up Natasha, who's been away for about 2.5 weeks or so into Ukraine for her brother's wedding. So I'm covering the message this morning. And not wanting to wait to the last minute, I sat down on a picnic table in our orchard yesterday morning to figure out what I was going to say to you guys today. A lot of folks in the church are getting together and about once a month or so and making this new banner. And this banner says, "Breathe in Christ, breathe out grace." And I just thought that was just so profound, and it got me thinking about that yesterday, and the idea of spiritual breathing, and that's kind of where I want to go with things this morning. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, there's two verses we're going to be coming back to a few times this morning, and that's Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, and John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. And we're going to be circling back again to Philippians 4, 8 to 9, and John 17, 20 to 23 a couple of times here. So, a lot of you know me. I'm a dad, and I'm a son. And I've had the privilege of being present at the birth of both of our daughters. And at that, besides managing not to pass out, got to experience the sight and the sound and the joy of them taking their very first breaths in this world, their very first breaths of air in and out, and very quickly giving away to an astonished cry of, "What just happened here?" We all did that. I was also present when my mom passed away a few years ago. I held the hand of that wonderful woman who gave me life as she took her last breath in this world, in and out, and passed into the presence of her Lord. These were just ordinary breaths, but in fact, they were extraordinary moments. They were incredible exchanges of grace, all of those breaths. Each of us in our lifetimes will take an average of 673 million breaths. And like all of our fellow creatures, from dragonflies to mule deer, we breathe in oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide. And the plants around us, the green things, need our waste. They breathe in that CO2 and they breathe out the oxygen that we need. We breathe, all of us, in a common community of grace. With many of these breaths, we breathe out words. And how many of these words are worthy of the grace that gave them breath? So consider your breath, breathing in and out, as we listen to a few verses of Scripture. We hopefully have a couple of readers, and you folks know who they are. And I'd like to just have you guys stand. Karen is apparently one of them. Can you stand up? Aha, and Tom is the other one. This is a surprise for me too. So let's just take a minute, and these folks are going to read a few verses. As we read this, let's close our eyes and just listen to these words and consider our breath and consider the act of spiritual breathing. Go ahead.
Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being.
Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." With that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
From Philippians 4:8-9. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work for you into his most excellent purpose.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
So, imagine for just a moment here, you've got this large puzzle to put together. We all did this. Maybe some of us still do. You've got this 5,000, 10,000 piece puzzle. You need to put this thing together because it's what you do when it's raining before there was smartphones. You don't know how many pieces there are in this puzzle, though. You don't know if any of the pieces are missing. And you don't have the cover to the puzzle box. You've just got 10,000 pieces, maybe 9,450, spread all over the floor, and you're trying to put this thing together. So I think if we're honest with ourselves for a minute, a lot of times our lives, our relationships, our walk with the Lord, our faith, and this crazy world we live in can seem like a jumbled mess of puzzle pieces that we've lost the cover for, and we don't know how many pieces are missing. The good thing is, though, is some 2,000 years ago, God, the creator of the universe and the author of life, he wrapped himself in human flesh and walked among us. He breathed in and breathed out and took his very first breath in a stable. He was scrappier than we think he was, and he slept outside in the dirt a lot of times. He got angry, he overturned tables. He wasn't afraid to call the fouls and the strikes as he saw them. And he even seemed to mouth off to his mother once in a while. But he breathed out words of grace with every breath until his last breath. You see, the words and life of Christ are the picture on the puzzle box. Jesus is the exact representation of the Creator's purpose and love for us, as we read in Hebrews. It's that picture that guides how we live, interpret the Scriptures, and make sense of these mad times that we live in. That picture on the box is a picture of Jesus abiding with his Father. See, Jesus breathed in the Father's love and breathed out grace. In John chapter 10, verse 30, in response to one of the many questions that Jesus had, he said, "I and the Father are one." In John chapter 17, 20-23, Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone," meaning his disciples, "but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, just as you and I, Father, are one. You are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I am them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as I have loved you." You see, Jesus walked and breathed in intimate union with the Creator and Author of life. He breathed in God's love and breathed out grace. And in the same way, we can also take our breaths through Jesus. In John chapter 15, we read, "Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined in the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation is intimate and organic, and the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can't be sure that whatever you ask will be, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, you mature as my disciples. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. And remember the root command, love one another." You see, Jesus invites us up and into the Trinity, the presence of the Trinity, to learn to walk and breathe an intimate union with the Creator and Author of life, just as Jesus did with the Father when he was here, to breathe in Christ and breathe out grace. How? You see, we, by being a new creation and with a new heart. In Ezekiel chapter 36, 26, we read, and this is in Prophet Ezekiel speaking, God says to him, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here." You see, anyone who has crossed that line of faith and has received Christ has been given a new heart and made a new creation. Have the opportunity to breathe in Christ and breathe out grace. You know, when we think about that, let's consider for a minute what we're breathing in. In Philippians chapter 4, 8 through 9, talks a little bit about spiritual breathing. What are we thinking about? What are we breathing in with our spirits, with our hearts? "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice." So what are we breathing in? Are we breathing in what is true, noble, just, right, beautiful, pure, gracious, loving, praiseworthy? Or are we breathing in the anger, division, violence, and lies of fallen humanity? Are we coming to Jesus for our life, for our daily bread? Or are we going to the world, to material things, the media, the radio, the internet, or whatever, for regurgitated junk food? You see, no matter what has come before this moment, no matter what has happened in your life, no matter how much of a disaster you or I might have made of it, the very next breath can be different if we start to breathe in Christ and breathe out grace. I have a suggestion. Christian throughout history have taught that there are two great witnesses to the character of God: his creation and his word is revealed through the person of Jesus Christ, his Son. So let's pull the plug once in a while. Turn off the smartphone, the TV, the radio, the internet, the music, and absolutely this lousy election, and go outside. Be still under the sky. Breathe in, breathe out, just be. Don't speak, don't presume, don't post or tweet about it. Just listen, just be. Breathe in, breathe out, whatever is true, whatever is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is just, what is gracious, what is beautiful, consider those things. Listen to the words of Scripture as if for the very first time. Breathe those words in, breathe those words out. Consider the love of God as expressed through His Son. Breathe love in, breathe love out. Consider the goodness, the wildness, the beauty, the power, the danger, the grace of God's awesome creation around you. Breathe in, feel the summer air in your lungs, breathe out. Look at the grid thing, the green things ready to receive your breath. Pray, listen for the Spirit. Breathe in Christ, breathe out grace. Consider the words that you breathe out. Do they reflect the love of God revealed to us in Christ? Here's a thought to consider. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Are the words we breathe worthy of the grace we receive? Let's do the world one better and breathe out grace. Let our words be worthy of the grace we have received. Let them reflect the fruit of the Spirit. Let our words and actions reflect the picture of Jesus on the cover of the puzzle box we've been given. Are they loving? Are they joyful? Are they peaceful, forbearing, kind, good, faithful, gentle? Do our words reflect self-control? Let's express the unity of the Spirit Jesus prayed for. Let's read John 17:20-23 again. My prayer is not for them alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. Guess who that is? That's us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, this unity as we deal with one another, the words that we breathe out, the grace that we breathe out and extend to one another, is really important to God. And it also is the message that we're reflecting to the world. Are we reflecting division? Or are we reflecting unity? Are we reflecting anger? Or are we reflecting an intimate and organic relationship, breathing in and breathing out with the Trinity, just as Jesus did with the Father? I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, in them, I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Let's do this by keeping Christ in the center of our fellowship. So, does anybody remember this slide? It wasn't that long ago. So, a long time ago, once upon a time, there was a guy named Mike that was here once in a while. And he would use this slide, and he'd talk about, you know, the early church had some challenges with unity. They had people who were meat eaters that just ate, went to the market and bought meat. And they had people who were vegetarians because they were afraid to eat meat sacrificed to idols. They had Jewish converts and pagan Greek converts and very different cultures, very different backgrounds. There was a lot of conflict there. You know, as time went on, we had a conflict between Calvinist and Arminian thinkers. We've had conflicts between charismatics and non-charismatics, between people who keep the Sabbath and those who don't, Sunday worshipers, between people who like praise music and hymns, between people who drink and people who don't, between Republicans and Democrats and independents and whatever. The beauty of Grace Fellowship is we have been around for 15 years. And this is a diverse group of people, and it always has been. We have people from every walk of life, every background, every political persuasion, people from different faith backgrounds. We have managed to keep the peace for the most part and get along because At Grace Fellowship, we believe in keeping Christ in the center of this circle. We minor the minors, major the majors, and the major is Christ. So, remember that the people who are different than us, the people we disagree with, the people who have different ideas than we do, and even the politicians we dislike, you know who those people are? They're not our enemies. See, our battle is a spiritual one. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. So let's remember our mission statement at Grace Fellowship, which is what? Celebrating Jesus by reflecting His love. And the motto of the Evangelical Free Church is in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, and in all things Christ Jesus. So let's take the time to spiritually breathe in this fellowship. Let's not lose sight of that. Let's not lose sight of what the picture is on the puzzle box. It's a picture of Jesus, God taking on flesh, breathing in, breathing out grace till His last breath. Let's take care of Grace Fellowship to do spiritual breathing. Breathe in Christ and breathe out grace.